to discuss on that immediately related to Flynn. If you see on Zayin and Beis where it says Masnisin, the first time it says Masnisin, and the Rashi lines, so right alongside that in the Gemara lines, Omer Rav Mechayiv Inish the Vesumei Bepoya. What is if Sumei Rashi says Lachishtaka Biyayin, to become intoxicated with wine, Adela Yad Ben Ora Haman Lavarach Mordechai. Still he can't distinguish between Oro Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Okay, so let's discuss first on its most basic level. So how does Rashi know B'yayin? How does Rashi know Yayin as opposed to any other alcoholic beverage? The Gemara just says Chai Vinish L'Esume to become intoxicated. And in fact, the Rambam says the same thing also. In Hilchos Megillah, when the Rambam quotes this in Perek Beis, he also says to drink wine, not any other alcoholic beverage, but dafka wine. So where did Rashi and the Rambam get it from? So the Pashtus Lechor is like this. Rava's din is basically, the shiur of Adela Yoda is a chiddush. But basically what Rava is saying is that since there is mitzvah simcha on Purim, as the Megillah says, mishta v'simcha, since there is a mitzvah simcha on Purim, so the same way the mitzvah simcha on Yom Tov expresses itself, that ain simcha ela b'vasa, ain simcha ela b'yayin, as the Gemara Mitzachim says. So that's what Rashi and the Rambam are saying, that Rava's chiddush here, it's not that Rava is uncovering a new mitzvah for us. Rava's chiddush is the shiur of the mitzvah, in terms of how much a person drinks. So that's Rava's chiddush. But basically what Rava is saying is, there is a mitzvah simcha on Purim. Simcha, again, is objectified in terms of basa v'yayin. So now I'll come and I'll tell you what the shiur of the yayin is. And that's why the poskim, beginning with the Magen Avraham, and then the Magen Avraham is quoted by the later poskim, say that the Suda's Purim has to be fleishix. So where does that come from again? Because since it's mishta v'simcha, so simcha connotes basa v'yayin. So that's l'chol what Rashi and the Rambam get it from, is that Rava is not... It's not that Rava's chiddush is that he's introducing us to a new din. No, Rava is simply teaching us about mitzvah simcha of Purim, which of course involves basa v'yayin, and the chiddush of Rava's statement is what the shir is. What the shir is. And l'chol, that's where Rashi and the Rambam and the Rishonim get yayin from. And then of course, kayadua, the Rambam writes that Adela Yada doesn't mean that a person has to be so drunk that he doesn't know the difference, but if it induces sleep, so then when a person's asleep, he doesn't know the difference between Oro Haman and Baruch Mordechai either, and the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch refers to this definition of the Rambam as well. Okay, well, what does it mean, Adela Yada ben Oro Haman and Baruch Mordechai? So maybe we'll discuss a little bit al Derech HaMachshav, what this represents. Adela Yada ben Oro Haman Baruch Mordechai. So there is a Gemara a little bit earlier here. If you take a look back on the bottom of the Vav Amud Aleph. Kesari v'Yerushalayim. It's around 9 lines from the bottom, a little bit past the midpoint in the line. Kesari v'Yerushalayim. Right? Caesarea and Yerushalayim. Im yomalacha adam chorvu shtehen al tamein. If someone tells you that they're both in a state of destruction, don't believe it. Yoshvu shtehen, they're both settled, they're both flourishing, both thriving, al tamein. Don't believe that either. Chova Kesari v'yoshva Yerushalayim, or Chova Yerushalayim v'yoshva Kesari tamein. If they'll tell you that one is up and one is down, Viet Yerushalayim is up, Kesari is down, Rachman Litzvan, Yerushalayim is down, Kesari is up. So that you can believe. But that's credible. That's likely to be true. But that either both are chorvu or both are flourishing, don't believe that. Shenema imala hachareva. And take a look at Rashi. Rashi explains what the proof text is here. Rashi is just slightly above where we began in the Gemara. Reisha dekra, Ya'an Omra Tzur, right, Tyre, says, Al Yerushalayim, Vat Yerushalayim, Himala Hachareva. Achshav Esmale, I will be filled, Mechorvasa. From the desolation of Yerushalayim, I'll be filled. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Amen Mehocher. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak says, yes, that idea is true, but you don't necessarily have to reach for a pasuk in Yecheskel, but it's a pasuk in Chumash. Ula'om, mila'om yematz, right? Shem va'ever, when Rivka goes to Beis Medrash Shem va'ever to find out why there's so much agitation in the womb, so she's told that there are two, so she has twins, right? Goyim bevitnech, uba'om, right, la'om is a nation, mila'om yamatz, that one nation is going to be stronger, is going to have the upper hand from the other nation, right? Apparently, and that's always going to be the case, meaning they're not going to be equal. One's going to be up, it's going to be like a seesaw, it's not going to be balanced. One is going to be up, one is going to be down. So what's the idea in this Gemara? Just stand that the Rebbe Shalom decreed that they're always going to be opposite? No. So clearly, what else does, when Yitzchak gives the bracha to Esav, right? So when Esav complains and says, Ha ha v'racha achas b'chahi o'avi, b'chayni gam ani avi. So Yitzchak Avinu tells him, V'hoya kashya tarid, u'farak te'ulo me'al tzavaracha. V'hoya kashya tarid. So Rashi explains, Lashon of Oed B'sichi V'ahima, right? When you'll have legitimate reason to complain, when you'll have legitimate reason to say, look at Yaakov, Yaakov doesn't deserve the bracha. So the way Yaakov's behaving, he's not loyal to Torah, he's not medaktik v'mitzvos, he doesn't deserve the bracha, Rachman al-Etzlan. V'hoya kashya tarid, when you'll have a legitimate reason for complaint, so then ufarak te'ulo me'al tzavarecha. So then you'll be able to throw off his yoke from your neck. And then you'll taka have the upper hand. So what does it mean? So what it means is this, that our perception of the struggle which exists in the world between kochos hatov and kochos hara is that you have two forces, and we try and we daven that the kochos hatov should be strengthened and they should be able to overwhelm the kochos hara. So what this Gemara is telling us, and basically it's that pasuk what Yitzchak Avinu told Esav, is that's not the case. The kochos hara have no independent power base. There is no independent koch hara. The ra in the world feeds off of the imperfection, off of the chait which you have in Yaakov. But the koach which Esav has derives from the imperfection, from the chait in Yaakov. And that's what this Gemara is saying, that it's impossible that they're going to be in the same state. Because that koach, if Yaakov Avinu is loyal, is faithful for Torah, and therefore it's going to be Yerushalayim, is going to be settled and flourished, so then there's not going to be any, none of that is going to be diverted. None of that vitality, none of that koach is going to be diverted to Esav. So Kesari is going to be in a state of destruction, in a state of desolation. And if, on the other hand, you see that it is flourishing, so obviously that means that the koach of Yaakov has been diverted there because of its chait, because of its imperfection. So if Yoshua Kesari, then you can know for sure that Chava Yerushalayim, but it can't be both. That's what the idea of this Gemara is. That's also the Chava when we say in the Yom Narom, we talk about La'asav Lavo, it's Kola Risha Kula Ke'oshan Tichla, right? That all evil will be consumed like smoke. So what's the imagery of like smoke? So smoke is basically as as dense as it can be when a fire is burning at its strongest, but basically it's a davar she'ein bo mamash, right? You have a strong gust of wind, so then it dissipates like there was nothing there, right? A gust of wind can dissipate smoke the way it doesn't dissipate something which is a real tangible object. So that's a strange imagery, no? Our encounter with Ra, okay, so in World War II, so Ra was vanquished, but it certainly wasn't Kol HaRisha Kula Ka'oshan Techla. It wasn't Ka'oshan, it was a very substantive force which with great, great sacrifice was overcome. So the answer is that La'asid Lavo, when Tov will really be perfected, so then it will takadi ka'ashan tichle, because it will be cut off from its power source. It has no independent power source. That's what it means. Kol harisha kula ka'ashan tichle. And l'chaveh, that's what it means. Again, I'll derech ha'machshava. So chayiv inish levesumei v'poi adol yod ben oraham and the baruch mochai. So again, we mentioned at the beginning that Rashi and the Rambam says it means v'yayin. And we explained al pi halacha why it has to be v'yayin. So what it means is that nichnas yayin is yotzas sod, right? That it means that on Purim a person is supposed to reach a level where he understands the pnimiyos hadvarim. It's not just surface impressions, not just superficialities, that a person understands the pnimiyos hadvarim, right? Which is what the whole appreciation of the Nes of Purim means, that a person penetrates to the pnimiyos hadvarim. When a person penetrates to the pnimiyos hadvarim, so then he understands that it's not that there's two forces in the world of Or HaHaMen and Baruch Mordechai. No, it's all one. There's basically just one force in the world, which is given to Baruch Mordechai, and to the extent that Baruch Mordechai is, Rachman al-Islam, flawed, is tainted by chait, so then that's diverted to the Or HaHaMen. And that's what it means. Adol Yada bein Or HaHaMen le Baruch Mordechai. We'll just continue. We'll see the famous story in the Gemara. Rabbi Rav Zeira of the Sudas Purim Behadei Adodi. Continuing here on Zayim and Beis. Rabbi and Rav Zeira, they shared a Sudas Purim. If so, so they got drunk. Rashi Nishtak, they got drunk. Kam Rabbi Shachter Rav Zeira. So what exactly does this mean? Literally, it sounds like he killed him. So the Marasha says, if you take a look at the Marasha, says, it doesn't mean he killed him. How can that be? How can that be? When a person gets drunk, so it intensifies, or it brings to the surface things which are latent within a person. But if there's no violent streak within a person, then by drinking he's not going to become violent. The person loses his inhibitions when he's drunk. But Rabbah didn't have that in him when he was sober either. So the fact that a person loses inhibitions when he's drunk, the last Mahashah in the Chiddushei Agadas, if you see where it says Davches in the Mahashah, you go up there four lines, Kam Rabbah Shachter Rav Zeira. Dovah Tamur Hu L'Forsho Kipshuta. Yeah, it can't be. V'nira D'Rat Saloma K'aim Shachter. The Agbere Chamra the kafir lishdas yosem midai at shochola v'not alomus. He gave him so much to drink that Rav Zeira got so sick that he was on the verge, rachmana litzlan, of dying from too much. His system couldn't again. Their wines were so much stronger than our wines also, right? That his system just couldn't assimilate all the alcohol. Ulachach nakte. B'loshem shchita. The Gemara refers to it symbolically as shchita. Why? The shesias hayayin, drinking wine, nikra al shem hagoron, is associated with the throat, which is the makom shchita, right? Which is the place where you shecht. Kamo shekosav memale gronem shel tamid yechachomim yayin. The ka'amre dehispalel olav, and the achye, when it says that Rabbah subsequently revived him, what it means is the hispalal olav shelo yomus micholi zeh ad shenisrape. But it means that he davened that the Rav Zeira should recover. Umatzinu b'mikro b'talmud lashon chaim lashon refuah. And we find that refuah, healing and recovery, being described in terms of chiyus, of regaining one's vitality. That's what the Mashal says. It doesn't mean literally shachte, it doesn't mean literally ache, but it means that he pushed him to drink a lot, to be mekayim the mitzvah, and he was on the verge of dying from the excessive intake of alcohol. So we'll comment on that in a minute, please, Nader. L'shana amalei neseima v'nevet tzuras poim v'adei adodik. So next year, Rabbah invited Reb Zera again. You want to come over for the poem suit. So Amalei, so Reb Zera says to him, Lo b'chol shaita v'shaita m'sach eshnisa. He tells him, no, thank you. I can't count on a nes happening every year, so I'm going to pass. So al derech chasidus, so the way they learn pshat in this Gemara is as follows. That what it means when it says that Rabbah shachte Reb Zera, it means that Purim is a very great day of Avodas Hashem. So what it means is that the Kedusha, which was released, the Kedusha which was attained through the Asudas Purim was so great that it overwhelmed Rav Zeir. And then they dashed, right? The Lashon Rabba of greatness, and Rav Zeir means... Right, Ze'er means small. And that's what it means, that come Rabbah, Shachter Rav Zeir, Saldera Chassidus, they tell you, no, it wasn't the drinking, it wasn't that he had too much alcohol, or that's what did it. But it was rather the Gilui, in terms of Kedusha, the Kedusha that they were able to reveal, that they were able to tap into, so that overwhelmed, right? That idea that except the same way, if a person on a physical level, if a person's system is overloaded physically, so Rahman al-Atzlan, it shuts down. So the same thing is true spiritually. Same thing is true spiritually. The Chazal tell us, right, in Mamet HaSinai, so Porcha Nishmasam, that from the Gilui Shechina was too much. It was more than we could withstand. So our Nisham is left. And you find that idea. So that's Al Derech Chassidus, that's what it means. Kam Rabba Shachter Rav Zeir, it means that he overwhelmed them with the Kedusha Rabba, with his great capacity. And Rav Zeir said, I can't keep up with you. I'm not ready for that Kedusha, so I have to pass. Okay, let's take a look on Omer Aleph, on Zayin Omer Aleph for a moment. We have the famous Gemara here of Omer Shmuel Bar Yehuda, again around 9 lines or so down. That Omer Shmuel Bar Yehuda Shalchu Lehem Esther V'Chachamim Kva'uni L'Doras, established the Yontiv of Purim. Shalchu La Kina At Ma'orer Saleinu L'Vein Ha'umas. So they answered her, no. You're going to provoke jealousy, and presumably that will jeopardize us. We're vulnerable. So shalchu lahem k'ksuva ani al divrei hayom v'malchei modei faras. We're not publicizing it. We're not recording or perpetuating anything which they haven't already recorded and perpetuated. I'm already written up in all the history books of the kings of Madai and Paras. Then Esther, so apparently they accepted that response, and in fact the Yontiv of Purim is established. Then 2-3 lines later the Gemara says, so Esther now has a second request. Shalchu lahem Esther v'chachamim kisvuni l'doros. Kisvuni l'doros. Meaning, let Megillas Esther be included into Kisvei HaKodesh. Recognize it as a part of Kisvei HaKodesh. Shalchu la halo kasavti l'cha shilishim, shilishim v'lo ribayim. But the Pasuk in Mishlei says that if something is supposed to be mentioned three times, it's You shouldn't mention it four times. And that's understood as a remez to how many times Amalek is to be mentioned in Kisvei HaKodesh. So it's already in B'Shalach, it's already in Kiseitzei, and it's already in Sefer Shmuel. Megillas Esther would be a fourth time. So wouldn't that be a violation? At Shemotzelo Mikra Kosev HaTorah. Until they found a remez in the Torah. Ksov Zal Zikon B'Sefer. Ksov Zos Mashakosov Kan Uva Mishnah Torah. Meaning that should only be counted as one mention, since it refers to the same incident, the same encounter with Amalek. Zikoron Mashakosov B'Neviim, Shaul's encounter with Amalek. B'Sefer Mashakosov B'Megillah. Okay, so I want to comment on two things here. First of all, in the two requests which Esther makes, Kisvuni and Kvauni Nadaros, so what does she have in mind with that phraseology of Kvauni Nadaros? And Rashi sort of highlights the problem, the second line, in the Rashi lines, Rashi says, Kvauni, so what does the Kvauni entail? The Yom Tov Ulikriya. Okay, that poem should be a Yom Tov, and part of the Yom Tov is that we should read the Megillah. Lios Lila Shame. So what, Esther, she didn't have a good PR agent, so she was looking to have a Yom Tov named after her, to Lios Lila Shame. But again, it's not, Rashi didn't create the problem. That's what the phrase which Chazal recorded, that Esther said, Kvauni Lidaros, Kisvuni Lidaros. So why is she sort of emphasizing her own role here? Right? It's obviously very strange. So if you remember, we actually discussed a couple of times. We had occasion to discuss, but maybe if we'll review for a minute. If you jump ahead to Yud Aleph from Yud Aleph for a moment. Beginning on Yud Amud Beis, the Gemara records how different Amoraim used to open their drasha about the Megillah. They used to, right, when you study Medrash Rabbah, so you often find the lashon of Pasachla, right? That this is how the Chachamim began their drasha. So the Gemara is telling us here how different of the Chachamim began their drasha of the Megillah. Different ideas as an introduction to the Megillah. So here on Yud Aleph, Omid Aleph, Rav Masna Omer Mehocha. Where is it? It's around, oh, I don't know. After they branch out to the right, 10 lines down. Maybe 11 lines down. Rav Masna Omer Mehocha Kimi Goy Gadol. Rav Masna Amar Mehocha, this is the pasuk which again, and Rashi explains in the right hand Rashi, around four lines down in the narrow lines. Rav Masna Amar Mehocha Pasach Pisra. This was his introduction to his drasha on the Megillah. His introduction was Kimi Goy Gadol, Ashelo Elohim Krovim Melov. Again, end of pasuk. Right? Often when the Gemara quotes a pasuk, the Gemara doesn't necessarily quote everything in the pasuk that it's interested in. It just quotes the beginning of the pasuk and relies on us to look it up to know the end of the pasuk. Kashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav, right? Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to us whenever we call out to Him. So why is that? What was Rav Masna in quoting this pasuk as the introduction to Megillas Esther? So what was Rav Masna's? What was the idea that he was trying to convey? So Rav Masna was trying to convey that the Megillah is a story of, and therefore by extension, Purim is a Yom Tov of Tefillah. And the belief in the power of Tefillah, right? Because what is it that the dramatic reversal from being on the brink of extinction, Rachman al-Islam, to Umor Chayotza Miluf Ne'amelech, so basically it's Tefillah. Tefillah or Tshuva, right? So that's what Rav Masna says, that you have to understand that ultimately that's what Purim, that's what the Megillah is all about. So Rav Masna Amar Mehocha Kimi Goy Gadol Ashelo Elohim Krov Melov, Kashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. Right? And I think what we mentioned at the beginning of the year when we began Megillah, that if you take a look in the Rambam, that the Rambam has two, at the beginning of the Yad HaZak, he has two lists of the Tariq Mitzvahs. He has one list just in the sequence in which the Rambam arranges them. That's a little bit of a mystery, how the Rambam arranged his Minyan Tariq. And then he has another list where he says, which is called the Minyan HaMitzvahs, the way the printer refers to it, is the Minyan HaMitzvahs of Seder Hilchos HaRambam, where you find which, in each set of halachos, where you find which mitzvahs you find in that set of halachos. So in that context, so the Rambam has a little hakdama to that second Minyan HaMitzvahs. So we looked at it together once. And the Rambam says that in the Yad HaZaka you'll find not only the Tayag mitzvahs d'araisa, but you'll find the mitzvahs d'rabbanan and the gzeiros d'rabbanan, everything which chazal, which was neschadshu acha matan Torah. And then the Rambam says, are you wondering how can there be such a thing? Isn't that a violation of Bal Tosef? So we saw that the Rambam says, no, it's not Bal Tosef for the following combination of reasons. A, because Chazal clearly delineate, this is D'oraisa, this is D'rabbanan. Chazal don't say, hey, it says in the Torah, Lo Sevash Al Gedi B'cha Levimo, so therefore don't melt the cheese on the chicken. No, they say, the Torah says, you can't eat animal meat together with cheese. And we're telling you not to eat poultry meat together with cheese either. So first of all, they delineate what's D'oraisa, what's D'rabbanan, and it's not Bal Tosef for that reason. And second of all, they also tell you what anchored D'oraisa, in what D'oraisa the D'rabbanan is anchored. What D'oraisa is this D'rabbanan geared towards enforcing or bolstering? So, in that case, obviously, we're afraid. People will get confused, and they'll end up eating real basar b'chol of D'oraisa. And then the Rambam says, I'll give you an example. He says, for instance, Megillah. So he says, if the Chachamim would come and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to read the Megillah on Yud Dalet and Tezvav Adar, that would have been Bal Tosef. But they don't say that. They say, rather, that we're telling you as a mitzvah midrabanan to read the Megillah. And why are we telling you to read the Megillah? They're telling you to read the Megillah so that everyone will know, all the Doros Haboyim, all the future generations will know that Emes Masha Hiftichonu Batorah, that which the Torah promises us is true. Emes Masha Hiftichonu Batorah, that Mi Kashem Elokeinu B'chol Koreinu Elav. That who is like Hashem, who is accessible to us whenever we call out to Him, whenever we cry out to Him. So the Rambam, and again, and the makor for that take or that perspective on Purim as a yomtiv to reinforce our belief in tefillah and koach tefillah comes from this line in the Gemara here. So coming back to the Gemara of Kvauni and Kisvuni Ladaros, so when the Taniyos and Chodesh Nisan were arranged, right? So Esther says, what was the focus? Of course they were saving that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were davening and doing tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save them. But what was the immediate focus of the Taniyos? What was the immediate focus? So when Esther tells Mordechai to arrange for the Taniyos, she says, Lech Kenosis Kol HaYehudim, and what should you do? Tzumu Alai, right? Shloshes Yomim Lai LeVayom. Right? So Tzumu Alai, meaning that I'm going to go, this is our best and only chance, I'm going to go to Achashverosh, like you said, and Tzumu Alai, so have them davening, and the Tzelmos, the fasting, the davening, again, obviously it was Bechlal for Yeshua, but Befrat, that Esther should be successful. So she was the focus of the Taniyos, right? It was the Tefillah was focused on her mission to Achashverosh. So that's what Esther is saying. Kivauni ledaros, kisvuni ledaros, lios li l'shein, meaning this, which right now everyone in our generation knows that the only reason I succeeded was because of our tefillah, because of our tshuva. Remember that the Rav once explaining in a drasha about how you have to read between the lines. He says, quite clearly, he says, Achashverosh was paranoid. He was clearly a paranoid king. He says, well, I've heard of a rule that Kol Ish Ve'Isha, right? who's not summoned, who just appears to request an audience, right away is Achaz Dosa Lohamas. Achaz Dosa Lohamas. Obviously, he was paranoid. Maybe he had reason for paranoia in terms of being afraid of being overthrown, but whether they were or they weren't out to get to him, but either way, he was paranoid. So the Jews in that generation, they recognized, right? Esther says, they recognized, again, that what happened when I went to Achashverosh was absolutely miraculous. So Kivau Nilad and Gvaros Kisvuni Ladaros, just as this generation knows that Samu Alai and that I was successful only because of their tfilos, so that has to be perpetuated Ladaros, like the Gemara has the idea later. And that's why Esther is emphasizing her role in the Nes of Purim. What's the initial response which they give her of Kina Atma Oreras Aleinu Levein HaUmas? Why is it any different than Pesach? So Pesach also, by the end of Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim involved the drowning of the Egyptians in Yam Suf, and apparently, being Ma'orei Kina is not was no impediment. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't think that was an impediment to introducing the Yontif of Pesach. So why did the Chachamim feel that it should be an impediment to introducing Purim? And Esther is only able to allay their fears by telling him, well, they know about it anyway. They themselves have recorded it for posterity. So maybe this here points to another element of the Yontif of Purim. That Purim, of course, in addition to being a Yontif of celebrating and reinforcing our belief in Koach HaTfilah, so Purim is also a Yontif which is dedicated to Mechiyas HaMolech, right? That's obvious that's the case. That's why the Mishnah says later in Megillah, in the fourth parak, that Chazal with Nesaken, that we should read Pasha Zocha, the Shabbos before Purim, because of this reason, because of the theme of Mechiyas HaMolech, the Ramban in Pashas Kisetze says that the pasuk of Zocher Esa She'asa V'cha HaMolech is Mikan Smach V'mikra Megillah Men HaTorah. But this is the source, this is the basis for Mikra Megillah Men HaTorah. So if it's a yontiv of Mechiyas HaMolech, so then Esther says, so what are we celebrating on Purim? So the truth is, we're not just celebrating our salvation, we're talking celebrating the downfall of HaMolech. We are celebrating the downfall of HaMolech. On Pesach, I don't know if that's a focus of the Simcha. We're not so much, we're not really focusing on the Mapolo of Taro, the Mapolo of the Mitzvah. We're celebrating our Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Lav Dafka that we're celebrating the Mapala of the Mitzrayim, or certainly not to the same degree that Purim Taka is a Yom Tov Mechiyas HaMolech, So we Taka are celebrating Mechiyas HaMolech, and that's what they said to her. We understand the type of Yom Tov you want to introduce. So that's a yontif, which is going to be Ma'orei Kina, to celebrate not only our salvation, but to celebrate their downfall. So that's Kina at Ma'orei Salenu. And she says, you don't have to worry about it, because Korksuva Ani, Al Divei Ayomim, Malchi Mordechai Pharos. Take a look. Smuchem l'chach. Meaning the fact that you're right. I hear your question in that. Let's say even without what we said. Isn't there a difference between, well, I don't know, maybe it's made worse by the pshat we just said. Shouldn't there be a difference between just being recorded in the history books and being celebrated, you're asking?
Yeah,
I don't know, it's a question. Take a look on Tezayin Amud Aleph for a moment. The Gemara here reconstructs the what happened when Achashverosh Balayla Hu Nadad Ashnas HaMelech and Achashverosh and Achashverosh tells Haman to fulfill everything, his whole prescription, to fill that prescription with regard to Mordechai, right? So the Gemara initially tells us here, let's say, on the end of the fourth line, so Haman plays dumb. Amalei Manu Mordechai. And so the Gemara is dashing the apparent unnecessary arichas in the pasuk. Right? Achashverosh says, Aseichem Mordechai Yehudi Hayoshe B'Shah HaMelech. Right? So he's telling him, Rochel Bitcha Ektana. He's really spelling things out here. So Chazal are reconstructing what happened. So when Achashverosh tells him, Aseichem Mordechai, so Haman says, who's Mordechai? Right? Amalei Manu Mordechai. Who's he? Amalei HaYehudi. So Amalei, so Haman says, it's a common Jewish name. Tuva Mordechai, he could be Yehudai. There are lots of Mordechais. Who are you referring to? Amalei HaYoshev B'Shar HaMelech. So then Haman tries to get out of it and says, well, instead of giving him this tribute, we can give him another way of acknowledging the debt. So Amalei Sagilei B'Chad Diskarta Inami B'Chad Nahara. I mean, give him one region from which he'll be allowed to collect the taxes. So according to Chazal, Achashverosh answers, Amalei, Honami, Havlei, give him this, and that's what Achashverosh is referring to when he says, Al tatel dov mikol asher dibarta, even that which you added. Now, what about the encounter between Haman and Mordechai? Vayika Haman esalavosh vesasus. So Haman takes the outfit Achashverosh had worn and the horse in which he had ridden. Ozal Ashkeche the Yasvei. So he goes looking for Mordechai and he finds the Yasvei Rabbanan Kamei Umachve Luhu Hilchos Kmitza the Rabbanan. Mordechai is illustrating how since it was Tezayin Nisan. And had the Beis HaMikdash been standing, so the Minchas HaOmer would have been correct. So Mordechai was learning within the Halachos of Menachos. So specifically Minchas HaOmer, so he was illustrating how the Kohen takes the Kmitza, how the Kohen takes the fistful of the flower of the Mincha, which is put on the Mizbeach. Umachve lehu, he's showing him Hilchos Kmitza l'Rabbanan. Kevin d'chaziyei Mordechai, d'afik l'kivlei, the susa meichad b'yadei, when Mordechai sees Haman approaching with the sus, mirtas. He gets scared. Amalu Rabban and High Rishiel the Miktal Nafshi Kaasi. He's coming to kill me. Zilu Mikamei Lo Tichlu Begachalta. So quickly you run away so that you won't be harmed as well. Bahi Shaita Nesatev Mordechai Vekamle Letzlusa. Mordechai got up to Davin. Asa Haman. V'yosev lei kamayu v'orech ad desovik Mordechai letzlusa. He waited until Mordechai finished davening. Then he says to him, fascinating reconstruction here from Chazal. Amaluhu v'mayas kisu. What are you learning about? Haman says to him. Amulei, so they tell him, v'zman shebeis ha-mikdash kayam, when there used to be a Beis HaMikdash, man de menadev mincha, one who would donate a mincha, maisei melo kumsei de solta, he'd bring a fistful of flour, umeskapele, and through that he would gain atonement. Amalahu, so Haman says to them, osim melo kumsei kimcha ditchu, v'dochi asara alfe kikre kaspa didi, your handful of flour was able to override and overpower all the silver which I had promised the king for your destruction. So Amalei, at this point, Mordechai, I guess, has finished davening. So Mordechai says to him, Rasha, right, addressing Haman. No, Mordechai was not one to engage in Chanifa. Amalei, Rasha, Evid Shekana Nechasim Lemi. Evid Shekana Nechasim, Evid Lemi Yil Nechasim Lemi. Right? As Rabbi Kiva Eger points out, the Gemara here is referring back to what it said earlier, that Haman had previously been very poor and had been sold into slavery to Mordechai. And actually, Mordechai owned Haman as an Evid. And Mordechai is telling him, well, the money wasn't yours anyway. Who do you think it belonged to? Any money which belonged to you really belongs to me. Now, so Haman comes and has to tell him, you know, he has to carry out his task. So Amalei kum levosh hanimanei v'rochav haisusya deboilach malka. Put on this royal clothing and ride on this horse. That's what the king wants. So Amalei, so Mordechai tells him, lo yachil na'ada ilina lebeibane. V'eshko lemazia. I have to go to the bathhouse and I have to get a haircut. V'lav oruch ara lishtamushe b'mani demalka palchi. It's not derech eretz for me to put on the king's clothing and to ride on his horse without bathing first and without being well groomed. So incidentally, the Achronim discussed how was he taking a haircut on Cholamoy? How was Mordechai taking a haircut? Okay, so they go through the sugars in Moed Katan to figure out why Mordechai had a heter to be taking a haircut on the Cholamoy. Shadra Esther, so Esther apparently who knew what was going on here. So Shadra Esther, the asartinu l'kul beibane, l'kul hu umne. So she told all the bathhouse attendants and all the barbers to leave their post. There should be no one there to help Mordechai. As a result, Aile ihu l'beibane v'asche v'ozal v'ozil v'aisei zuza mibeisei v'koshakil be'mazia. As a result, Haman had to serve as the bathhouse attendant, and Haman had to be the barber. Right? There was further degradation for Haman. In gid v'ismach. So he gives a krechts. Haman gives a krechts. And he says, so Mordechai says to him, "Amayka misnachis. What are you crafting about?" He says the one who just a little while ago ranked above all the king's officers, so now he's been lowered to being a bathhouse attendant and a barber. So Mordechai says to him, Amalei Rasha, V'lav Safa shel Kfar Katzom Hayisa. Meaning that Haman kept trying to forget his past. And Mordechai kept reminding him of his past. He says, weren't you a barber for so many years? And now the Gemara quotes a Brisa, which Taka records that part of Haman's biography. Tana Haman Safa shel Kfar Katzom Hayo Esra Mushayim Shana. That in fact, for 22 years, that's what Haman's job had been. Now, finally, Basa the Shaklin Hulamazie, finally, so Mordechai bathed and he had his haircut. So Levshinu Lemane. So Haman helps him put on the royal clothing. So Amalei Sak Urchav. Get up and now you'll ride on the horse as the king wanted. Amalei Lo Yochilna the Kechisha Chelai Mimei Tanisa. So Mordechai says to him, I've been fasting for 3 days. He says, I have no strength to climb up on the horse. I can't get up. I'm too weak. So Gochin is Solik. So Haman bends down that Mordechai should step on his back, right, and use him as a stepping stool to get on the horse. Kisalik, so when Mordechai is going up, when he goes up, Boadbe, he kicks someone. So now, this is the line. This is the line which, again, we especially came for now in our context. So Amalei, so Haman says to him, "Oksiv l'chu binfol o yivchal tismach." Doesn't it say that you're not, that you shouldn't rejoice? Right? No, it's right. That you're not supposed to be sameach. You're not supposed to rejoice after the downfall of your enemies. So Amalei, hani mili b'Yisrael. That means if a person has an enemy amongst the Jews, avol b'ditchu. But with you, Siv atal b'masem u'sidrach. No, to trample. So you see here in this Gemara that Mordechai is telling him, yes, I'm taking rejoicing at your downfall. You have it in this Gemara, that idea, and presumably that's the paradigm for the Nesef for him, and that's why Shalchu lahem Esther v'Chachamim. Again, we're not only celebrating our Yeshua, but we're celebrating the Mapola of Haman, the Mapola of Amalek. So couldn't we be concerned with being Ma'orei Kena? Your question is a good question. I'm not sure about it. Maybe just one last thought. In the Haftarah for Pasha Zohar, so we read how Vayachmo Shol Ra'am al Agag v'al Meitav Hatzom. But they had lachmanis on Agag and on the best of the sheep and the cattle. So we generally understand this to mean that, after all, our instinct sort of protests against the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek. The mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek. So they follow their instinct rather than the Rivon Shalom's tzivoy. And that's why Vayachmo Shol Ra'am al Agag. But when you think about it, it doesn't make any sense. That can't be the pshat. Why? If they were going to have rachmanos, so if you send the marines, you send the army into Iraq, so who do you expect them to have rachmanos on? They'll see a baby. They'll have rachmanos on the baby. But on Saddam Hussein, you don't expect them to have any rachmanos. There's nothing about our instinct which protests against eradicating the embodiment of evil. So Agag was a Saddam Hussein of his generation. So what's Pshat Vayachmo? And Vayachmo Shol Va'am on Agag, who was the biggest Rasha of all, and on the animals. So what about all the other people? So clearly what's happening is not, again, some kind of misguided moral reaction. But what's happening symbolically is something else. It has a tremendous Musa Haskel. But what's happening is this. Agag, right, as the king, as the head of Amalek, so you cut off the head, so then you destroy the entire organism. So killing Agag, right, killing Agag, again, both symbolically and substantively at that point, represented the eradication of Amalek, the eradication of Ra. And what happened is this. Very often, we disapprove of Ra, we condemn it in whatever form. It doesn't have to be in the pure evil of Amalek. It can be things which are wrong that we know is wrong. We condemn it, and yet the truth is that we, a little bit, we enjoy it. We condemn Lashon Hara as a terrible thing, yeah, but occasionally, you're over here, a little bit Lashon Hara, and this is it. We enjoyed it a little bit, it was interesting. There's a certain Yetzer Hara which it caters to, which is satisfied by it. So we rightfully condemn the excessive materialism and pursuit of pleasure in the society in which we live. And yet, a little bit, we're not really ready to totally eradicate it, because a little bit, we also enjoy it, right? Again, not Rahman al-Islam to the same extent, and not Rahman al-Islam that we endorse it, that we approve it, but a little bit we enjoy it. That's Pshat Vayachmo Shol Va'am. If the Chemla, if the Rachmanis had simply been a misguided Rachmanis of how can we have a mitzvah to kill them all, they wouldn't have had, it would have been a baby that they would have speared. Some of the babies, not Agag. no, really, what was driving this chamla was, no, this again, this idea that sometimes our opposition to evil is just a little bit of, with a little bit of reservation, because the Emes says that a little bit, we enjoy it, and that's what. And that's what the mitzvah is, that it should be without that reservation, that there shouldn't be that little bit of enjoyment, and it should take be with a desire to totally cleanse ourselves from it. And once the Baruch Mordechai is perfected, so then the Meila, the Ohr HaOlam evaporates.